reading of God's Word. We start the series on the last seven words of, or seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. And because of time, I put in my heart that I need to teach this at night. And there we are tonight. We go into the third statement of Jesus on Calvary's cross. And if you go to John chapter 19, and verse 25. Look what it says then, John 19:25. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Caiaphas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own house." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. In your humanity, you made sure you took care of your mother. You honor the name of a mother that day. A real example for us to follow, to honor our own mothers. Father, I pray, Father, Lord, at this time of the year, as we celebrate your death, burial, and resurrection, may we take your word serious and think about, Lord, what you have done for us at Calvary's cross. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here, someone online that never truly received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, may today, Lord, they call upon you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, woman, behold thy son. That's the title of the message. Woman, behold thy son. And an interesting passage right here, Scripture. And my question to you as we start this message, did Jesus disrespect his mother? He says, "Woman, behold thy son." He didn't say mother, he said woman. Let's look at this message. I like your answer, by the way. We have now come to the third G of Jesus' statement upon the cross. Literally, they are two statements, but they are typically combined as the third saying because they are within the same context. You see, they both share the same idea and reveal the common desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26 says, "Behold thy son." Verse 27 says, "Behold thy mother." Is with the same context, though we put that as one. So that's the last seven sins of Jesus on the cross. So as we consider this particular statement, it is interesting to note that the first three of Christ's sayings regarded the needs of others. For an example, the first time we did was prayer of forgiveness. Remember them? That was the first message, prayer of forgiveness. It was about the needs of others. The second, it was of the promise of redemption. We preached this morning about two thieves, one on each side. You know, Jesus in the middle, one rebuke and said all kinds of nasty things to Jesus. The other one asked him to be with him in paradise. And tonight we come to the third one, is about making sure his mother is left okay. Interesting that Jesus in his last, as the oldest son, he remembers his mother, he looks at her, and he makes sure that somebody's taking care of his mother. So Jesus gives all of us an example, a great example for us to follow this. Okay? Each one of us are commanded to honor our parents. All right? We are commanded to honor our parents. And shame on the one that doesn't. Okay? We are, if you're online and watching, I don't know if you are a Christian or not, but if you don't honor your parents, shame on you. Okay? And Jesus is doing that for his earthly mother, right? He makes sure that someone will take care of her as he departs. So someone said these words. The Lord Jesus was dying as the Savior for sinners. He was engaged in the most momentous and the most stupendous undertaking that this earth ever has over will witness. Nevertheless, he does not overlook the responsibilities of natural ties. He failed not to make provision for her who, according to the flesh, was his mother. End of quote. So now, keep in mind here that honor and obedience are two different factors. We need to understand that even as parents, we need to understand that obedience and honor are two different things. Okay, let me explain to you. When we live under the authority of our parents, we are to what? Obey our parents. Okay? Parents have rules. Everybody has their own rules. So when you have a child, I don't care what age they are, if they live under your roof, they should obey your rules. Now obey when they're little kids. We understand that. But you have your rules, and they are, if they're under your roof, they are to obey your rules. That's obedience, okay? Now, when we live under the authority of our parents, we obey them. When we grow up and no longer live under their authority, we are to honor them. You follow that? See the difference here? Okay. Let me explain this to you. So I'm at work, and my dad calls me. My dad's in heaven with the Lord, but let's suppose my dad calls me. Like, he's alive, and he calls me. And he said, I need you to come to my house right now. Because I have this job for you to do. Dad, I'm at work and I'm supporting my family. I can't do that. Am I being obedient or disobedient? I'm being obedient. I said, Dad, I will honor what you're saying. But when I leave work, I'll go buy your house. So you honor what your parent is saying. But you know what? Obedience is right. Leave everything and run to the place. Say, yeah, I mean that. What do you want me to do? So there is an age on what a time, and if we live under their roof, we have to obey our parents. But there's a time also on which we don't obey anymore. We honor them. My mom and dad went to heaven to be with the Lord. I still honor them. You know, I honor my dad, I honor my mom. I know what my dad and my mom stood for. I know what they say yes and what they say no. And I still honor them as much as I can. I try to honor my parents. And I think I've done a good job at it. I'm not saying this in a proudful way, but just want to explain to you what honor and obedience is. Another thing to keep in mind here is that honor doesn't mean that you have to give them everything they ask you for. All right? Especially when it comes when you cannot afford it. Jesus didn't have much to give to his earthly mother, but he made sure that he honored her by making sure that as he departs, that make sure that somebody would take care of her. Of the seven sayings, this may be the least familiar, but it is particularly special to me, and it should be special to you. It reveals the care of our Lord for those who he loves. In this statement, we see that the love and compassion of Jesus remain a priority for him even as he hung in agony upon the cross. So even in the most difficult of moments, Jesus was making provision for others. Remember, forgiveness in the first one. The second one was about salvation. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And right now he looks at his mother and he makes provision for her. He says, woman, behold thy son. He's making sure that is somebody that he knows is going to take care of her. He says, the one that he loved. If you look at the passage, the one that we know who Jesus loved the most, Jesus loved all of them, but it was a particular one that he loved. It was John. He didn't say to Peter or anybody, it was something but between Jesus and John that it was really a little bond in there on which Jesus loved John particularly different than he loved the others. But guess what? He gave his mother for John to take care of her. And I think we too, as we have aging parents, we make sure that our parents are right. We make sure they go to the right place. We make sure that they're well taken care of. That's honoring them. That's honoring them. Okay? So you see, folks, we need to follow the same example as of Jesus that we find here in this passage. So we can rely on aunt to take care of our elderly parents. And let me tell you, it's not an easy task to do as our parents age. All right? My dad, we didn't take care of him because he suddenly was good and he dropped dead of cancer. So rapidly with my mom, it was not that long, but we could see that could be something long and could take a lot of labor and a lot of effort. And you know what? We were committed to.
We were.
Me and my sisters, we were willing to do and take care of mom, didn't matter what the cost. Because we honored her and we want to honor my dad that he said to us before he passed away, make sure you take care of your mother for me. And we honor those words. So, Jesus is doing the same thing here. He's honoring his mother and make sure that somebody's going to take care of her. Exodus chapter 20 verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. So we ought to honor our parents. So that's some things something we need to do. And let me tell you. We got to our points right here. Do I get to our first point? I never got to our first point. No. The first point is, behold thy son. If you have an outline, if you want to write it down, behold thy son. But this is something right here. I'm not a teenager. You can see I'm not a teenager, okay? But how many people, and you probably witnessed the same thing, have said all kinds of nasty and bad things about their parents? Doesn't cut your heart? I understand, don't get me wrong, I understand some parents don't deserve to be called parents. You know, the way they treated their kids. I don't perfectly understand that. But it goes to the other hand here. God calls us to honor our parents. I understand it's difficult sometimes because some parents don't deserve that. But I'm talking about us as godly people, Christian people. God calls His children, us as Christians, to honor our parents. Okay? So, number one, behold thy son. You see this in verse 26. Jesus was being unkind or cold to make such a statement towards His earthly mother about saying, woman, behold thy son. Absolutely not. Looking down from the cross in His agony, looking at a fragile woman. I can just picture the heart of Mary right here. And she looks at Jesus and see the way they're treating His son, her son. And you're a mother, right? Whose mother's here? I put your hand up if you're a mother. If your child would be there, treated with such brutality, how would you respond to that? Probably some of you would make a big scene, right? Yeah, you know, because it's in the agony. But you're thinking about the Roman soldiers there and the fear also of being put in the same fate. Because they were brutal. You see, folks, we need to follow the same example of Jesus that we find here. As inconvenient as it may be, we see that Jesus, in His agony, took care of His mother. So letter A, we see Jesus' identification. Keep in mind here that this is God in the flesh hanging upon the cross. He was already endured the cruelty of the scourging, the ridicule of the soldiers, the hatred of the Jews, and now He suffers under the load of sin and the torments of the cross. In that moment of grief and pain, Jesus says, behold thy son. He that been obedient to the cross of Calvary and even there identifies with his earthly mother. So the Son of God identifies with his earthly mother right here. Well, let me explain something to you right here. Mary was not the mother of God. He was the vessel that God used so God could have a human flesh, so He could shed His blood for us on Calvary's cross. We need to be careful because it comes to a heresy. Mary was a human being just like me and you, who was born of a mom and dad, and it was used as a vessel that God used for a purpose, salvation. Maybe we don't forget that, because it's even though He says woman, and as Jesus is Mary's son, but that's earthly speaking, because Jesus was before Mary even came into existence. He was there before creation. Okay, listen folks, Jesus identified Himself with us. Mary needed a Savior. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. Jesus went to Calvary because He was our needs. You follow that? If you read the prayer, the Song of Mary, you see there that she mentioned the Lord, my Savior.
That's right.
So she was a sinner just like me and you. Amen. I know some denominations elevate her to the position of God, and that's wrong.
That's right.
So He loved me when I was unlovable. Jesus wants to identify with you today if you will only see Him for who He is, the King of Glory. He wants you to come to Him in repentance so that He can identify with you in salvation. Folks, Jesus is our only hope beyond the grave. Only hope. Some may think that this is just too narrow to be true. What about all the other gods from other religions? You want me to tell you what? The old dead gods. They don't talk. They don't hear. They don't respond. They're dead gods. You know, and people are bowing and worshiping those things that they don't talk back, they don't see, don't do anything. You know, what was the God that they put the Ark of the Covenant? Oh, that poor thing had a rough time. He had a rough time. It's kind of hilarious to read that passage. That's right. So they are dead gods, and the people who believe them are believing in vain and believing a lie. But let me tell you this. But a lot of those people are genuine. They think that they're believing in something that is true. They are deceived. Well, look what it says. John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 6:37 says, all that the Father given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In verse 40 it says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? From our sin. Aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to identify himself with sinners? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, number two, and that would be, we see Jesus' compassion. Jesus loved his mother deeply. And he demonstrated that even in his dying moments, he was concerned about her physical well-being. See this in verse 37. He charged John to take care of her when he was gone from the earth. What a picture to the comparison of our Savior and his love that took him to the cross. Well, let me tell you something here. Who is Joseph? Who is Mary's wife, husband? Probably had passed away. Let me say something right here to you. Jesus gave the responsibility to John. What is Jesus' other brothers and sisters? One of them got saved, we know, was James. But interesting, isn't it? We can speculate. We don't know. But the question comes up. What did they do? Was their mother too, right? Interesting. So Jesus died because he loved us, but his love didn't end there. He remains a compassionate Savior. He is concerned with the hearts and souls of man. He is concerned about your situation today. He wants to make provision for you and me in our need. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And to that we say, amen, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Had he not loved us, he wouldn't leave heaven. He did because he loved us. You know, when Jesus took the form of a man, it was an action of love. When he went to Calvary's cross, it was an action of love because he knew our needs. What was our need? Salvation. You follow that? When God promised a Messiah, right there in that Genesis 3:15, the plan was already made that the Messiah would come and would shed his blood for me and you. So when Jesus left heaven, he knew that it was going to happen. He knew the way he was going to die. He knew the way he was going to pay for our sins. But he left. You know what? It was love in action. He demonstrated his love towards us. He did it. And when he hanged on that cross, it was all love for me and you. He was willing to suffer and to die and to experience separation from his heavenly Father just because he loved us that much. You know, I say to people, when people ask me, oh, how much Jesus loved me, I say, look at Calvary. You have his open arms right there. That's how much he loves you. From one end to the other. He loves you that much. You see, has he not loved us, he wouldn't leave heaven. But he loved us. Folks, people reject him because they don't understand the love of God. People curse him. They reject his name, his church, his people, his book, which is the Bible. They curse him and all kinds of cursings. You know why? Because they don't understand the love of God. And in return, guess what? God still loves them. Imagine that. I mean, if you have a person that spewed all kinds of nonsense about you, all right, humanly speaking, and they continue to do it, and it comes to your ears, what's your reaction? Sad, she said. Something to get mad, get even, you know? That's our natural reaction as humans. How dare you talk to me that way? How dare you talking about my name that way? You know, but look what God does. He loves them back. We don't comprehend the love of God, but that's what God does. People don't understand the value of salvation. If they did, they would run to church. They would run to somebody with the Bible and said, I want to get saved. They don't understand what God's salvation does in the lives of the individual people. They don't think about that one day they're going to depart and what's going to happen to them. They think, and many of them even laugh and mock and say all kinds of things, when I die, I'm going to hell. I'm going to have a wonderful time with my buddies in there. I heard this many times. You know what I say? You have no clue what you're talking about. Not a clue what you're talking about. Folks, it was love and compassion that drove Jesus to the cross. It was love and compassion for you and me, the motivation for Jesus' sacrifice. Folks, if you are not saved, if you're online here or here tonight, if you're not saved, stop and think about the love of God and how much He loves you. He wants to give you His free gift of salvation. He wants to give you a meaningful life. He wants to give you abounded life. He wants to put peace in your heart. He wants you to be with Him in a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity. Folks, that is compassion, that is grace and mercy altogether. Folks, that's the love of God. God loves us that much. Let us see. We see Jesus' redemption. Jesus wanted Mary to look up on the cross. Why? Because she was a sinner just like all of us. Follow that. At the foot of the cross, guess what? We're all the same level. Jesus is high and lifted up, and He wanted her to look up. Because you know what? She's a sinner just like me and you. If He loved His mother that much, wouldn't He want her to go to heaven too? Same thing with us. If we love our loved ones, what are we going to do to our loved ones? Tell them the truth about Jesus. I say, but they don't want to hear. But we don't stop. We keep going. Why? Because we love them. We want to tell them the truth. Isn't that true? So Jesus wanted Mary to look up to the cross. He wanted her to view the sacrifice that was made for her sins. Jesus wanted her to see Him as more than a son, but as Savior. Jesus wanted her to see that even though she was a earthly mother, she needed a Savior just like John, just like all the other ones that was there. Mary was highly favored of the Lord. We know that. Mary was a privileged woman who was the most privileged woman who ever lived as a chosen vessel to bear the Messiah. But let me tell you this, Mary needed a Savior just like all of us. Was she a special woman? Absolutely, she was a special woman. She was chosen by God, handpicked by God. And all the virgins of Israel, God picked that particular woman because she was a special girl. What is His desire today? What is God's desire today? Jesus wants man and woman and children to behold the Son. He wants them to survey the cross and the precious blood that He shed for them. He desires all to come in faith, believing on Him as their personal Savior. Not some, like some say, not just some that are being born and they're going to heaven because they're the one. No, no, no. It's all people of all nations, of all languages, of all colors. Everyone have the opportunity to get saved. Every single one of them. And you know what? No one can convince me that it's not the truth. It is the truth. The God that I know is the God that says that whosoever will come upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Goodness. How we can be so political correct that we even try to put things in the Bible is not so. If you never believed in Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary, what opportunity to receive Him as your Savior today. Because the Bible says today is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. You know, it's not tomorrow, it's today. Some people say, oh, before I die, I make sure I get saved. You know what they're saying? I don't care what you say. You know what I say to people when they say to me, I say to them, so you're rejecting Jesus, aren't you? And they go, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Oh, yes, exactly what you are. I'm just saying maybe, you know, when I get a little older, I said, you don't know, you might die in your sleep tonight. The ignorance of people. They reject the truth because of their own ignorance.
Right.
Number two, behold thy mother. Look at verse 27. Then said he to his disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. In this verse, we find the provision of Jesus for his mother and the confidence that he had in John to fulfill this important obligation. John's name isn't mentioned in this account, but we can be certain that he was that disciple. The disciple that Jesus loved. The previous verses reveal that the disciple standing by was the one whom he loved. This statement is very encouraging and challenging for all of us who belong to the Lord. In it, we find the blessed privilege of serving the Lord as well as the obligation associated with it. You know, somebody said that the Lord said to John to take care of his mother, and John said, yes, Lord, I will. It's a great responsibility, isn't it? Folks, it is a great responsibility to take care of elderly people. And if we're going to give our loved ones to someone to take care of them, we have to fully trust them so they can treat them with dignity and respect. Follow that? Even if we put our loved one in a nursing home, we need to investigate if that's the right place to go and the right people to take care of our loved one, because they deserve dignity and be treated with respect for who they are. So it's our obligation. Jesus gave his mother to the one he loved, one that he trusted, one he believed that was going to take care of his mother. Guess what? We too, we are commanded to honor our parents, right? We too have to make sure that where we put our parents, if we personally cannot take care of them, to make sure that whoever is taking care of our parents, they're doing it with dignity and respect for who they are. The human beings made in the image of God. All right? Letter A, under that second point, we see the selection of John. Keep in mind that during Jesus' crucifixion, most of his disciples and his followers hid themselves because of fear. They were afraid that they too would be crucified as followers of Jesus. As Jesus hung up on the cross that day, there were a few of his followers there, and one of them is John. And look what it says in John 19, verse 25. And they stood by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, and a wife of Cephas and Mary Magdalene. So the women were more courageous than the men. They were there. And the men were few, but the women were much. Praise the Lord for ladies sometimes, you know. John was also with them, but we have no record of any of the other disciples being present at the cross. We also know through the scripture that Jesus had other siblings. And look what it says. This is one thing that, I tell you what, I believe that this thing right here, that's where the Lord planted the seed in my heart. I shared this with you before, but look what it says. Matthew 13:55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? They are not. Are they not all with us? Hence them had this man all these things. It was a young man that worked with me. I used to give him a hard time. I think you remember me saying this here. I mean, a really hard time. One time he went home crying. One time I told you quit the job. And I was like rejoicing. Like, I mean, I was not a good guy, I tell you what. but he comes back to work. But one time I came to him and I asked him. I said, listen, there's something that really intrigues me. I know you're a guy of the Bible. I don't know how to look in the Bible. Didn't Mary have other kids? And he goes, like a smile. Big smile. He goes, oh, yes. Flip, 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 flip. Got his Bible right out of there. Open the Bible, and he goes to me, read it. And I'm reading. I was like, oh, that's something's not right here. He goes, what's exactly what you're reading? It's right there. You know what? I always was taught in the church that I was going that Mary only was, Jesus was the only son of Mary. That is not true. It's right here in the Bible that she had other kids after the birth of Jesus. Was he a virgin before the birth of Jesus? Absolutely. It was a virgin birth of Jesus, but after that, Mary had other kids, and they're right here. We don't see them at the cross. We don't see Jesus saying to John, John, take my mother to my brothers to take care so they can take care of her. Interesting. Okay, so you could say, well, they were not at the cross at Calvary that time. But Jesus could say, John, take my mother to my brothers. He says to John. Look what the scripture says. Let's go back a little bit here and look what it says. Let's go back to our passage. It says, verse 27, and then he said to his disciples, behold thy mother. Wow, what a responsibility he gives to John, and John is not even one of the sons of Mary. Interesting. So, we see, behold thy mother here, and let's look at point number two, is the submission of John, and point number three, you see the sacrifice of John. Let us see. I want to remind us that life was much different in that day than it is today. There wasn't grocery stores or every street and government programs to assist those who are the elderly and the needy. There was no welfare system, neither any other government program that John could utilize. There was no elderly centers, no nursing homes. There was no cars, no highways, no electricity, no internet, no cell phones, no TV. Would you like to live in that age? I won't. Some people say, oh, if I can live, you know what? I see it when I get to heaven. You know, I like this age. Very convenient age. So life was definitely much different than life is today for all of us. John was a fisherman by trade. He was not a wealthy man. This was something that he must be willing to sacrifice in order to do. He had to agree to pay the price for serving the Lord and also to make sure he was taken care of Jesus' mother Mary. So John didn't argue the fact that Mary had other children to take care of. John took the responsibility, and we don't hear no complaints come out of the mouth of John. He took, the Bible says, her in his house. And he got that responsibility on his shoulders. And folks, what a lesson for us to learn. It may not necessarily create a financial burden, but it does involve sacrifice, isn't it? We must be willing to sacrifice our time, our talents for the Lord. We must reach the place that we put the need of others above our own. Right. This is hard to do, but it is what the Lord expects us to do. And you know what? When we put ourselves last and others first, life is much better. The world does not teach that way. The world says to you, you need, you deserve, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. You know what? But actually, it's the opposite. You want to experience joy? You put yourself last and put others first. Listen, if you give somebody a gift and a person is smiling as they open the gift, don't you rejoice in your heart? Of course you do. You see the excitement and you rejoicing and you anticipation for them to get to the thing. I mean, with my grandchildren, it's amazing. They open the thing and they just see the box and they go, hey, like, open the box, get to the thing inside. They're happy just with the box. I told my son, I said, maybe we should just give them boxes. I don't, it's cheap that way. But it is a joy. The world does not teach that, but we can learn that from the Word of God, that it's better to give than to receive. I believe John's actions is the fruit of his relationship with Jesus. Jesus loved John, and John loved Jesus. And John was willing to do anything for Jesus. Listen, folks, if your relationship is right with God, if you love Jesus the way the Bible describes, He is going to use you in ways that you can never imagine. You follow that? God says to love God with what? I'm glad that you read in your Bible. You know, I don't have to quote it to you. You know the verse. You know what that happens? And if we love the Lord with all that, And if we say, Lord, here am I, use me as you will, you watch what God's going to do for you. But we got to do that every day. Because this flesh of ours wants to take over. The old man wants to take over. So every day, Lord, I love you with all my heart, mind, and soul. Lord, use me for your honor and glory. See what God can do in you and through you. Latter day, we see the satisfaction of John. Verse 27, from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. As far as I know, John never mentions Mary in his writings. From this point on, we find nothing to support the fact that he resented taking her in his home. I am convinced that John was honored and pleased to do this for Jesus. He knew that it was important to the Lord that somebody would take care of his mother, and he was the right person, and he was there at the right moment, and Jesus told him, and he took her in, and we never hear or read of a complaint from the mouth of John. You see, it is easy for any of us at times to think that what we do for the Lord goes unknown and that no one cares about it. No one seems to care. No one says good work. No one pats you in the back. And sometimes we can get discouraged. But let me tell you this. We Christians should never expect a pat in the back from anybody. He said, Pastor, you're being harsh. I'm not being harsh. Because when we expect pats in the back, you know what we want? We want the praises of man. But when we do it, and even if nobody sees what we do, God is seeing. And God gets the glory, and guess what? And God will bless you for it, and God will keep you on using you. Folks, there are people in church that do many things that are not even the pastor knows about it. But they do it. You know what? God gets the glory. What a one man at Great Rhode Island Baptist Temple many long moons ago. And I mean, the Lord allowed me to see that because I never thought of that. He did this every service, every single service. And nobody even noticed about it. I don't know, for some reason I kind of, he would go every service and he would go from pew to pew and he put the hymnals in the right position, in the right degree, and he moved to the next one. And he did it every single service. And when I asked him, I said, Brother, I don't know, like, why are you fixing the hymnals? So he says, well, you're not supposed to see this. This is between me and the Lord. And I'm doing for the good of others. I don't want people to look around for the hymnals, so I put them just nice and straight. God put that in my heart. I've been doing this for a long time. He says, you're the only person that I know that took notice of this. I just looked at it. I've been looking at you going from pew to pew. I just have to ask. But I said, Brother, I'm zipped. I don't tell anybody about it. And he continued to do it. I don't know if anybody ever noticed about it, but you know what? The little things. He, in his heart, he was serving the Lord because the Lord laid that in his heart, maybe because he saw something, you know what? And he continued to do, and he didn't want nobody to notice. I kind of mentioned to the pastor, and the pastor said, really? He didn't even notice either. We're not a blessing. You know what? If we are waiting for the praises of men, we're not serving God the way. You know what? To God be the glory, and I'm serving him even if nobody knows. What amazing thing here, we don't see John ever complain. We don't see John ever say, oh, taking care of Mary is too expensive. Or taking care of Mary is not working for me. She's not my mother anyway. No, he honors the wishes of Jesus, and we don't hear anything. We don't even know. How long he took care of Mary, we don't know. But one thing he did. Let me tell you this. When the Lord tells us to do something for him, we ought to do it expecting nothing in return. Remember that we ought to do it unto the Lord. Remember I said this morning? A servant serves. Follow that? If we are the servants of the Lord, then we serve our Lord. We serve with a grateful heart. Right. Not with grudges, not complaining, but we serve the Lord with a grateful heart. Because if the Lord says, you are my servants, I know we are God's children, but we are his servants. We are the servants of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. What a great privilege. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is important to us. So we serve him. So he is the reason I read my Bible, because I love him. He is the reason I sing, even though I'm not a good singer. He's the reason I witness for Him, even though I am fearful sometimes. He's the reason I pray for others, even though they don't pray for me. He's the reason I come to church, even when I don't feel like coming to church. He's the reason I encourage others, even when I'm discouraged. He's the reason when I preach and teach, the reason I preach and teach the Word of God. And like John, when we do it unto the Lord. You see, it is good when a brother or sister in Christ say a word of encouragement, or when someone take notice of what we are doing. Because emotionally, it motivates us. I understand that. But if nobody says anything, don't lose courage. Don't say, well, nobody cares. Guess what? Somebody's watching, and somebody cares. And that one is watching and cares is nothing more than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and your Heavenly Father. And He does care. He takes count of that. John usually referred himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. There is no arrogance in the reference. John is simply humble that the Lord would even love him and honor him to have the privilege of serving him, even taking care of his earthly mother. Wow, what a privilege, what a responsibility. It is a great responsibility. I mean, goodness, our elderly people are a great responsibility to us and to the children that are behind. And what a shame when a child or a daughter or a son don't take care of their parents. That is a shame. That is a hurtful thing. I went to visit someone that was in a nursing home. And there was a man there, an older man. He was dressing in military clothes. And as soon as I walk in, that's what he did. And I went, and the lady, you know, started smiling at me. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just, you know, trying to encourage the man here. And he goes, Mr. President. I said, no, I'm a pastor. I'm not a president. He called me Mr. President. Oh, I said, I'm sorry, but I'm waiting for the president. He's come to visit me today. I said, well, he might come. Just hang in there. So I went and visited the person I went to the nursing home for. When I came back out, he stood up out of the seat again. He goes, like, and I did my hoop for him again. And the lady goes to me, she says, you have a sense of humor. I said, well, I mean, you know, poor guy over here, you know, he's trying to encourage him. So I told him, I said, watch out, the president might come to visit you today. Poor guy. But anyway, you know, I feel bad. I mean, can you imagine how many people are in nursing homes? Okay, I'm going to say it. Not a son, not a daughter ever show up. Not even one a month or twice a month or once a year, they never show up. My question is, what kind of honor is that? I understand if we cannot take care of our loved ones, and we have to put it in some places, not in the beginning, we have to make sure that who taking care of them are people who will do the same thing that we will do for our elderly parents. We, you know, we want to make sure that they're honorable people, and they will do that, but, you know, so, but not going in there and never even visit the one that raised you up, that's a hurtful thing, isn't it? My parents never went to a nursing home. But goodness, I was the way we took care of our parents was much different, and because of the promise that we made to our parents. But let me tell you, not everybody can do that. But to just say, oh, my mom and dad is in a nursing home, but you never go there. Think about it. Think of what they're thinking. They're in expectations that you're going to show up. They're looking at that door when my son or my daughter is going to come to visit me. You know, one thing that caught my heart, and that was not my mother, was my grandmother. And I was told that years later after she passed away. I heard this recently. She died with the expectation that I would go visit her in Portugal. And I didn't know that until recently, my sister told me. I said, sister, why didn't you tell me that early? I said, well, I didn't want to tell you that. But it hurts you, you know, because my grandmother was have that accident. She's not even my mother. But I'm talking about mothers here as a subject of what Jesus is talking about here. Goodness, how many moms and dads are totally alone? How sad. What a sad world we live in. I conclude with this. I want to leave you with this thought. We each have the same privilege and obligation that John received as he stood at the foot of the cross. When Jesus puts something in your heart and you are willing to submit to Jesus and do what he requests. It's a question mark there. When Jesus puts something in your heart, are you willing to submit to Jesus and do what he requests of you? Are you willing to do without any complaining? Have you beheld him as the Son of God that takes away the sin of the world? And you say, I have received him as my Savior. Now, are you willing to say, Lord, whatever you send me, I will go. Whatever you give me, I am willing. I will serve you, Lord. You know, what example here of John. John took in Jesus' mother, Mary, and took care of her and did what Jesus asked him. He did it for the one that he loved, the Lord Jesus, his Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this passage of Scripture tonight. We can learn so much from it, Lord. I probably hurt some hearts tonight, and that was not my goal. Well, Lord, I pray, Father, may we understand, Lord, the responsibility that we have as your children, the responsibility we have towards our parents, or our aging parents. May we honor them, even after they depart from this world. May we continue to honor them and honor you, Lord, because we love you with our heart, mind, and soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you could stand, please, we're going to sing a song of invitation tonight. In the same song from this morning, Jesus Paid It All, page 131, 131, as we reflect on what Jesus has done for us. Let's sing this song.
I heard the Savior say, thy strength in thee is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed as white as snow.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your blessings, for your goodness, for the blessing of being in your house tonight, Lord. Go with us as we depart from this place. Help us to be the servants of the cross this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.